Did you shit in there?
I did. Why?
You sprayed the entire bowl.
I know. Oh, is it still in there?
There's little pieces.
Shoot it out. That's like a shotgun shell. Like when you have one of those where you push and it just goes
100%. Cheers.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi. Welcome to Two Bears, One Cave, Let's Get to Know Tom edition.
Oh, this is really cool.
Yeah. What I was going to do is I was thinking about this the other day, and I forgot that I did this. I wrote down a bunch of things that are important to me.
Get that clock going. Yeah.
Punctuality, obviously, is important to you.
Yes.
Things that are important to me, and then I wanted to hear your take on them. Okay?
Oh, okay.
So,
these are things that are important to you?
Important to me. I started taking value in like things. I wrote down the things that I loved and that are important to me that jump off the paper. Like, for instance, Chris Rock, right? Chris Rock, when I wrote this list, had just got diagnosed with COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, and I don't pay much attention to Chris Rock normally. I don't think about him often. But when he got COVID, I went, he's really important to me. Like, and I never really vocalized this ever. And I almost to a fault. And I thought, I love Chris Rock and I love his stand-up. And his stand-up is the reason I got into stand-up. Because when I watched Bring the Pain, I was like, this is amazing.
Amazing.
But then I never know what you feel about Chris Rock.
I fucking love Chris Rock.
Oh, let's talk about Chris Rock.
Chris Rock is, for me, I mean, I think he's the best stand-up comedian alive.
Yeah.
And you go through... You know, there is a special before then, and there, you know, there was SNL and all that. But the way that he took the opportunity, that's the thing I think about, too, is that specials, now we have, like, these, we're just bombarded with specials.
Yeah.
And, you know, people joke about them that, like, who doesn't get a special? The special's my special. And you're going to see some of that change. I think, actually, specials were done in abundance, and now you're going to start seeing platforms. It's not going to be immediate, but it's going to go back towards less specials.
Yeah.
Less specials are going to come out. But here's the thing. People can't now really, if you're under 30, I guess, you don't know what it was like, what HBO meant for stand-up and what getting a special was on that channel at the time. So there is no streaming, there's no Netflix, Amazon, who none of that exists. HBO comedy, stand-up comedy, is the mountaintop.
It is.
They're making, I don't know, maybe four or five a year, and the people doing them are George Carlin, Robin Williams.
Robert Klein?
Yeah, maybe Robert Klein. Some one-offs, you say Robert, I think of like Robert Townsend.
Robert Schimmel.
Yeah, maybe, because there was also the HBO, they did do the HBO half hours, which were also
Louis Patrice, huge, Jim
huge
Norton,
opportunities.
Bill Burr.
But an HBO hour special was like, there was like nothing that compared. And also, because at the time there's not 500 or 1,000 channels, right? There's like, there's your basic cable and then there's premium. And premium was like HBO, Showtime, Cinemax. I mean, by far the best thing you could have was HBO.
Yeah.
HBO was the best. I mean, that was like, it really was. It's home box office. I mean, you had like the opportunity to see incredible shows. They took risks. They made like, you know, everything from like remember Real Sex? Like these, you're like, oh my God, this show's so crazy. Their scripted shows, you know, they would always hit at least one mega hit like every season or two.
Yeah.
So the stand-up specials were something. He, I only know this now, was like off of SNL. He said he has like, I don't know, like $100,000 to his name. And he bought like a $60,000 Corvette just to like look good in the neighborhood. And he was like, it was the fucking stupidest decision.
Really?
And, you know, he gets this opportunity to shoot a special. It's hard to get him out of your mind. It's not the Chris Rock now.
It's not the Chris Rock.
You know, it's like, but he has this chance. And he starts doing the road to get this material ready. And I want to say that he said he ran into Dice. I really do. I might have that wrong. But that he ran into Dice and he reminded him, like, you know, this is it. This is it. And he was like, what? He goes, I mean, this is your shot. Like, this is your shot. It's not, you're not going to get another one of these.
Yeah.
If you don't fucking destroy this. And then he went into prepping for that special like a prize fighter.
I know that specifically. And that's, I want you to keep going. That is one of the things that Chris Rock is so important to me.
Oh yeah. And I mean, I work hard to get ready for specials. You know, I fucking do a ton of shows. I try to make it the best I can, but I think about that. And then I honestly think about, cause sometimes I have to remind myself that I'm actually, we're talking about like what we're fans of. And I think at the top of my list is stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
Like comedy in general, yes, but great stand-up is like the best thing to watch. The best. And different ages, you're different fans, you know what I mean? So like I remember seeing Cosby. You know where I saw Cosby? I saw him, footage of his special. I saw footage of Cosby doing Bill Cosby himself, the special, at a car show in a limousine. So, you know what, you've ever been to an auto show?
Like, no, I've never been to an auto show.
So like, it's like a conference center or like a stadium, and there's just cars everywhere. And most of them you can look at and not touch. And I was a kid, and you know when you're a kid, you see a limousine, you're like, oh my God, it's like a fucking pair of tits. You're like, yeah. This is real.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You're just blown away by it. You could get in the limousine. And I was like, it's amazing. And they had on the TV in the limousine, which is, you're like, there's a TV in the car? And it was that special.
Yeah.
And I started watching the special in the car. And they're like, you got to get out of the car. I was like, I'm watching this thing. And I was just laughing at Bill Cosby. And then I saw it again in full later. And then, you know, you get a little bit older and I saw Raw and Delirious.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you start thinking about different ages, watching different specials and different comedians. But dude, Bring the Pain came out, I want to say in 96.
I think it was.
Can you look that up? Chris Rock, Bring the Pain.
I know how I was living in Indian Village. We had Kelly green carpet, like Hunter green carpet. And I remember when it came out, I remember recording
1996.
It
was 96, yeah.
I remember recording it on my VCR.
Yeah.
Because this is the other thing about Chris Rock, is like Chris Rock's got a little bit of like a, I hope this comes out right, but he was a little bit of like the chosen one.
Mm-hmm.
Like Eddie Murphy discovered Chris Rock.
Yeah.
And said, you're going to be in Beverly Hills Cop 2 or 3.
Like he's like a valet.
He's like a valet. Yeah, yeah. And then all of a sudden, it was like he's been crowned the next great young black comedian. And at this time, and this is all stuff I've heard Dave and all those guys talk about at the time, you were only allowed one.
There's only one,
I think I heard Chappelle say it on, as opposed to now there's three. But like there was one. And so that was like, okay, so everyone was like, get ready for this to be your next Eddie Murphy. And then I don't remember seeing much of his stand-up other than like small things, but you saw him in CB4, which I still stand by and say is a great fucking movie.
It's really funny.
It's a really funny movie. Yeah. And he was in New Jack City, yeah. Which, by the way, coined the term cancel culture. Did you know that?
No.
New Jack City is responsible for the term cancel culture. Wesley Snipes says, see if you can type in New Jack City, cancel that bitch. We're just going to cancel that bitch. That's the phrase he says. That's how that's the phrase cancel culture came up. Yeah, let's watch the whole movie.
And this was him like kind of showcasing
in a dramatic
his acting
role
shots,
and he was
right?
great in this and yeah. Then he got on SNL and it was, and I say this respectfully, but he kind of did not find his footing.
Yeah.
Like, he just didn't have a place on that. And it was such a star-studded cast.
Yeah.
Where you were like, oh, fuck. So I guess that's over for Chris Rock. And I remember thinking, like, yeah. And then, but when his special came out, I still had it in my head, like, this is our next Eddie Murphy.
Yeah.
We recorded it, and I hit record, and I was going to watch it live. I want to say it was like fucking, I know it wasn't a Saturday night. It had to be like a Sunday night or a Monday night when it was airing. But it started, and I left it recording, and I went and got a 12-pack of beer, and I came back, and I just played it. I played the video from there. I played the video.
Yeah.
And I watched it. And when he went into everything he said, obviously the big one was fucking black people versus N-words, and that was like, that, and that was like mind-blowing.
The whole special was, I mean, he, yeah, so that was, 96 for me is, I'm a junior in high school.
Oh.
So, you know, that's you have that period where you're like, SNL informs like your kind of sense of humor, right?
Yeah,
when you're like
yeah.
fifth grade and sixth grade, you guys are showing up on Monday and you're like redoing the bits with your friends. And then your sense of humor kind of develops. And then you're becoming a man, right? I mean, I'm like 16, 17 years old. That special comes out. And it absolutely fucking blows my mind. Because it
blows your mind.
It blows my mind. It's so sharp.
Stand-up wasn't done like that.
No. And that's the thing, is that it was so like in the zeitgeist. It just hit talking points of like what's happening in the world. It was so smart. But also, he's murdering. Like the kind of thing where I feel like there's, you know, you have sets now where you're like, I fucking murdered. And
yeah.
I feel like all that to me goes back to watching that special and being like, I want to feel what that feels like.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where like you just fucking annihilate. I was such a big fan of his, dude. I have a clip I can show you of me doing stand up at the Melrose Improv where I'm skinny. I'm like 190. And I'm pacing, crouching, and I'm going like this with my hand. And it's
really?
Like, yeah, it's like 2000.
He always has interesting hands.
Yeah, his hand, he does this with his hand, and he would go like this. And if you watch and you press mute, you just watch me, you'd be like, oh. And I even had like an affectation that's not mine. Because when you start stand-up, you basically parrot your heroes.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'm just sitting there pacing, crouching, going like this on punchlines with like horrible material. And it's all like trying to be like Chris Rock. I was so dialed. Like, I was such a big fan of his that then I remember I'm in college and it's only 2 years later. Bigger and Blacker's coming out. I don't even know how stand up really works.
Yeah.
I'm like, there shouldn't be one of these out this soon.
That was, and by the way, it looked like a Master P cover.
Yeah,
remember?
Yeah.
And like that was the time
That's
when
right.
it looked like a Master P cover.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And I remember seeing that.
No
Limit Records. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember seeing that and going like, oh yeah. And it was still same Chris Rock, same great material. And you're
the
just
material
like,
was outstanding. The special was amazing. And I was like, how is this sustainable? I didn't even know how stand up gets written, and I still didn't I was like, it's too great. Because the specials, you know, back then, with the exception of Carlin, who was on this really he put out 16 specials, and I don't know if anyone's ever been that prolific, but the thing is, you know, you look at specials, and that it was just like the one or two, and that would carry a guy's career.
Yeah, you could do that same material for the rest of your life.
So anyway, I mean, that solidified how big of a fan I was. Like, this guy is just the greatest, the best. Those specials, here's the other thing. HBO, then, you had the one thing that also helped you if you were that person, is not just that the special's great, they would just re-air that thing
all the time.
I mean, that special, you couldn't miss the special.
Yeah.
You'd turn on HBO, and for years, it would just be, and no one else is watching other things, so he became so big, so famous from how good those specials are and how often they were played. I didn't realize this until he was touring again, that he didn't tour for 9 years. That's how much of an impact those specials made, is that if you take 9 years off and you go, I'm going to go on tour again, I promise everybody's numbers would be like dwindling, shrinking, right? He took 9 years off, and it was like, you know, massive venues again.
God.
Like, he, you know, he just, he earned that. And then I also love that career-wise, he had, like, I have similar interests because he loves features, and he's written and directed, and done, and he loves movie making. So I'm a big fan of movies, and so I've just always followed whatever he's done. I'm a huge fan. I've met him twice, and two times could barely say words. Like, yeah. I was like a kid.
I think I've met him once. Met him once with Gary Goldman, and this is a long time ago. Andrew Dice Clay, Roseanne Barr, and Louis Anderson were in the green room. Chris Rock's in the green room, and we said to Chris, Gary Goldman and I said, what's your advice on getting feature work? And he goes, my advice is become a headliner. And we were like, what? And he goes, fuck, you're worrying about feature work? He's like, just become a headliner. And
that's good advice.
I was like, yeah, I guess that is good advice. And he's like, no one gives a fuck about feature work. Become a headliner. And we were like, okay, but if you did have advice about feature work, how would that go?
I think I fucking actually said the first time I met him, it was in the parking lot of the store. And he was like, I watch all your shit. You got good specials. And I think I said something like, I like yours too. Or like, you've got some good ones I've enjoyed. Something I didn't know what to say. I was just like a fucking idiot.
His work ethic that train. I remember hearing him say he trained like a fighter. Like, this was his last thing. I remember hearing him say that. And when I did Secret Time, I knew that was my one shot.
Yeah.
I knew without a doubt that I had one shot at a Netflix special in order to get other ones.
Yeah.
And I was like, I will put everything into it. And I went and I told them, I was like, put me on the road every single day for the month and a half leading up to the special. I went on the road I went on the road. When we knew we had it, I was on the road every weekend, and then that month out, I went, I want to be gone Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I want to be gone every day of the week, and I was gone every single day, and I had that special so dialed in that I could take it and move it around into different parts, and then I started doing that and taking different things, and I thought about it methodically, and I remember the other thing that was big about Chris Rock was that he was a fan of Woody Allen's.
Yes.
So like this, and I hope this comes out properly, but like, you know, some like Cat Williams is I love watching Cat Williams, but Cat Williams is very culturally a black comic. Like, you know, Chris Rock's still very culturally a black comic, but the fact that his inspirations were, you know, Carlin and Woody Allen made me think I can't just go up and just wing it with talent. Like say Martin would. And I hope this is respectful, but like Martin, you seem like someone. Or Eddie Griffin seemed like someone who would just go up. Or Richard Pryor would be like never put pen to paper, just go up and just fucking be themselves.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Chris Rock was one that was like made me think you need to be
the material
meticulous about your material. Yeah. You need to be. You can't just go up there and be like I'm a talent. I don't and do what Jay-Z does.
It's very musical.
Yeah,
it's like it's rhythms to it and he does. You know, Chris does sound check. He does. You know what I mean? Like he wants to know the components, like the room is right.
And the way, and watching him get ready for a special, watching him write material where there was no energy into it. It was just the words.
Yeah, you know,
he had no ego about being on stage.
I'm doing a run this weekend. And I've been doing this new hour. And the last, I would say 10 to 12, well, it's about maybe it's up to 15 minutes. Murder.
Yeah.
So you go like, I'm gonna close on these 15 minutes, so I'm gonna open with it.
Yeah,
this week.
Yeah,
and just to fucking fuck around.
Oh,
and see what it does to the set.
I when I did Secret Time, I had this great hour, and then all of a sudden, I remember sitting backstage and someone told me they were like, "Hey, just so you know, they only watched 30 minutes of it. Like you just." And so I took my closer and put it at 22 minutes.
Yeah,
and was like,
What was the closer at the time?
Ziplining.
That's so you moved it to 22.
I moved it to 20 because it was a great joke. And it when in doubt, spread them out or whatever.
And it was just, you would just say goodnight after that.
Yeah, yeah. It was like, I don't even know what that joke was now. It's so funny. When I did Red Rocks, I went and kind of went to look at old material to see if I should bring back some and like try an old one just to make sure that it was like a good show for everyone. And I couldn't remember how that joke went. I don't remember how it ended. he's shimmy fucking her all the way back. I forget it.
Yeah. And people don't understand that we forget the bits. Like, you get so used to, it's not just like, oh, it's your material. And you're like, yeah, but when you perform it, you know to take the little pause. There's a laugh, and that does something in your brain.
Yeah.
Where then you go, then the next line, and the next line.
It's
and
funny,
if you don't
too.
Perform you can, it, you can't
you
remember.
Can almost get into it. You can almost get into it. Like there's a, like, if I watch, because I wanted to do one of my favorite jokes I ever had was Isla's deodorant on her lip.
Yeah.
And then time travel. And I watched it on Netflix. Thank God Netflix keeps it up.
Yeah.
I watched the bit, and as I'm watching it, I start mouthing it, going, oh, I remember this.
Yeah.
But there's little things you don't remember.
Little things you don't. That happened to me. I had to pull up Netflix when I did a private, the day of.
Really?
You know, I don't remember if I told this on the podcast where I showed up and it's a private event. And the guy was like, yeah, we're so excited. And I was like, cool. I was like, so, I mean, I don't know. It occurred to me to ask because I was like, hope you guys like all the new hour. And he was like, what? I was like, when I'm touring. It was in the middle of a tour.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, no, we want to hear Seagal and 48 and Bikes. And I was like,
you want
to hear them tonight? And he was like, that's why we hired you. I was like, hold up. I'm going to go to my room. And I had to watch them and make I had forgotten completely
how
some of them went. And I fucked them up performing them.
Really?
I was like, I'd get like halfway through it, and I was like, you guys fucking, you know how it goes.
You know what I was thinking about doing? Jeff Tweedy, I love Wilco. Jeff Tweedy used to do these living room shows for like $25,000, then he'd give the money to charity.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I would love to have Jeff Tweedy, but I want to pick a set out. I want to pick out what songs I want to hear him play. I want it to be acoustic. I wanted to be in my backyard. And then I was like, I'm not inviting my wife, my kids. I'm kicking them out of the house. I'm inviting hardcore Wilco fans.
Oh, okay.
Like, I'm only inviting Wilco fans who aren't going to fucking talk during the middle, aren't going to crack a beer in the middle of it, like that are like, I want to hear, I'll be drinking Tito's and soda.
Okay.
And I'll be smoking joints, even though Jeff Tweedy is sober. But like, I would do that. And then I started going, wait, I would want to hear certain songs acoustically.
Yeah, yeah. I have to pee so bad. We have to take a break.
Go pee. Okay.
After years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if we've learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, I thought, what's the catch? But after talking to them, it all made sense. There isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet savings directly to you. Say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plans, jaw-dropping monthly bills, and unexpected overages. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you with premium wireless plans starting at $15 a month. Just ask our very own Josh Zola, whose entire wireless production facility plan lifestyle has been completely revamped and overwhelmed by Mint Mobile savings. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/bears. That's mintmobile.com/bears. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/bears. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plans. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Welcome back to Getting to Know Tom on Two Bears, One Cave.
Real quick,
okay.
That was a very, very, amazing leak that I took. Did you shit in there?
I did. Why?
You sprayed the entire bowl.
I know. Oh, is it still in there?
There's little pieces.
Shoot it out. That's like a shotgun shell. Like when you have one of those where you push and it just goes. Kaboom.
Okay, so that's one of the. Because last week, I think you said, I don't casually walk to take a shit ever.
I was going in there to take a piss, and it just started happening. And I was like, oh, this is not a fart.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I wasn't planning on shitting.
You kept talking about you had to fart. You're like, I got to fart.
I've had to fart this whole day. But I said I had to go fart, and then I sat on the couch with you guys, and it went away. And then right before we came in, I went in to take a piss, and then all of a sudden, exploded out of my ass.
It looks like it did.
And I'm having a hard time because I'm getting like the ice cream cone effect, you know, like when you do soft serve and there's still some sitting on the thing, and you look at your cone, you're like, can you get that little part out of there? And they're like, it just stays there, and then slowly it drips off. Well, that's happening with me. I have like a little cone of shit hanging out of my ass, and I have to take the toilet paper and then literally go in and kind of scoop it out of my ass.
This is rough.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
All right. Welcome back to Getting to Know Tom on Two Bears, One Cave.
Thank you.
Luxury items. So I want to talk about luxury items because you are the first person that kind of opened my eyes, maybe too much, I think. I think I was better when I was cheap, but like to luxury items. Now, I want to know, first of all, how much is appropriate for the average person? Meaning, remember, go back to when you were living in that place with the in the hills where you had to drive through the gate, right?
Okay.
Okay. So what? How much is appropriate for a person to spend on a watch? Like where you go, you didn't blow the bank, but you need to treat yourself.
And you're talking, this is when I lived in a house with a gate.
Yeah, but, well, I don't know when you got rich, but let's just go then ballpark. Because Leanne wants a new watch. And but she doesn't want to spend a lot of money. And this was a gift to me.
But this is the thing I got to, you know, when it comes to shit like this, because I know how Leanne is.
Yeah.
You just got to fucking buy it. You buy it and you go, this is what it is.
Yeah.
You can't make her comfortable with the price. I'd say sometimes you have to do that with people.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just have to, I mean, like, sometimes you do it with parents, you do it with spouses, whatever. You just... Like, if you can afford it, I'm saying, everybody has their own level of what they can afford. And then there's the people who are like, oh, it just makes their fucking eyes water to hear a number. Yeah, they're never going to buy the thing that they deserve or that they want.
Yeah.
You just got to buy it. Now, I think if you have, median income, I think buying a watch for, like, $500 to $1,000, it's money. It's, you know, it's not cheap.
Yeah.
But it's not going to... fucking, you know, bankrupt you.
You can spend $800 on a watch and get a good fucking watch.
You can.
And I have my favorite watch I have is my Garmin.
That was a gift right there?
This one's a gift. I didn't buy this. Yeah.
Who got it for you?
My dad.
It's a nice gift.
Yeah. I think at times I've said on podcasts that Will Smith gave it to me as a joke, and then people really thought Will Smith gave it to me.
How long have you had that watch?
I've had this watch for 8 years. Got it on my 40th birthday.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a fucking nice gift from your dad,
dude.
It's
a really great gift. It's a really great gift. And can I tell you what?
What?
I was going to buy him a really, really nice watch that I wanted. Because I know he's probably got 10 years left. And I was like, I'll get it in 10.
Yeah.
Because he's going to pass away and I'll just get the watch. And I was like, that's enough of an investment. Let's talk about luxury items, about whiskey and cigars. Can you tell the difference in a high-end whiskey versus a bottle of Jack?
I mean, there are some that are so distinctly, I'll say this, the taste is so distinctly different from Jack to some other whiskeys that I'll know, like, this is not Jack Daniels.
Yeah.
But do I have a sophisticated enough palate to know, like, this is this and that? Absolutely not. I did have that experience with that fan. He's a big fan who, I was doing a gig. He had reached out, like, my agent hit me up. This guy wants to do like a whiskey tasting with you at the venue in the green room after the show. I was like, yeah, okay. He wheeled in.
How is he like not 10... my fan too? This is wait, we're, so we're, dialed into what
let,
I like.
Let me finish.
Jesus Christ.
He goes,
it's like a pussy tasting fan. And he's like, dude, you don't pussy tasting work?
He goes, he wheels in all the whiskey, lets me sample them, teaches me. Like history.
The only way this story goes good if he says to you, Bert.
Wait. You'll love this. So he does this whole thing. And I'm like, man, like, I really feel like it's kind of the fun thing about hanging out with somebody in something that you like, but who knows way more than you.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's what I love. Like, I have friends like that. Like, they know way more about something that I'm a fan of.
Yeah.
So I was like, man, this was so informative and delicious. And what an experience. He's like, yeah, you know, it's like, I really wanted to meet you and do this. And I was like, oh, thanks, man. And he goes, yeah, because I'm really trying to get in touch with Bert.
No way.
And I was like, oh. And he was like, yeah, because like what I really want to do is do this with Bert. And
wait, where does he live?
It was in Texas.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I'm in Texas. Abilene.
You really don't? This never happened? You never met up with this guy?
I don't think so.
You would know. Well, actually, you wouldn't know.
I wouldn't know. I wouldn't have remembered.
Blacked out and forgot.
I would have woken up with no ring and a watch on.
Yeah.
The So okay, so then cigars. Do you feel the same way about cigars? Can you taste an expensive cigar? Because I one of the things I think is interesting about you is that you are not like, this is what I find interesting, is that you do have fine taste in nice things, mm-hmm. but you don't waste, you don't spend recklessly.
No, and I haven't on cigar. Like for instance, my friend.
That's what made me think about that.
I mean, he really likes cigars. I enjoy being educated the same way with the whiskey guy.
And yeah.
Dude, I was in Milwaukee a few weeks ago, and I got to go to that fucking amazing cigar place.
Bar. Yeah.
And they knew you. They're like, oh, Bert was here.
Yeah, I was there.
Is it Yule? It starts with a U, right? Yule's?
I can't remember.
I forget what it's called, man. They gave me an incredible tour, hooked me up with just so many amazing cigars that I would have never sought out or been like, I should get this one because yeah. I don't know. But you do realize that when you're having like a premium cigar, it does. I mean, I think the taste is distinctly different.
I'm kind of looking forward to a cigar today. Like I'm looking forward to a drink and a cigar very much.
Well, you're going to have a few.
I think I'm going to. I might smoke two cigars.
Yes, you are.
I wouldn't be shocked if I had an asthma inhaler hit. So what about beers? Can you appreciate IPAs?
No.
Okay.
But here's the thing. That's what we're talking about, what we're actually fans of. I'm not like, oh, do you have IPAs? Like I don't, it does nothing.
Dave
for me.
Williamson got me into IPAs and there's a fun time to drink an IPA. Like if a river's running by you,
yeah.
you can, an IPA fucking is right. But you can't pound an IPA because it's kind of like blowing a shoeshine, boy.
Yeah.
You're just like, ah, oh, it's a lot of taste in the back of my throat.
I like some stouts.
I don't like stouts.
I like them. I
drank a stout and threw up in my hand with the woman that was in The Exorcist, Linda Blair.
What?
We were eating brownies. And type in Bert Kreischer, Linda Blair. See if that comes up.
Is it on video?
Tom, it was the first time I drank in the morning. And I had so much fucking fun. I got wasted. Wasted with Linda Blair at fucking like at like 8 in the morning on we drank.
Wait, I want to give a shout out to, go to the search engine. What about Milwaukee cigar downtown? Go to the all results. Oh, there it is. How do you say that?
I wonder if I was there during Sober October.
So good, dude. That tour. So they have an underground, like this place opened in 1939.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I've been here.
Yeah,
I've been
here.
Yeah.
It was awesome. It was awesome.
We went through a big cigar phase during Sober October 2 years ago, where when we were on tour, we were in the bus, and we just went to every cigar shop and had cigars every night. It was fucking awesome.
That was the only thing you could do, right?
Yeah, and I it's funny. I never really needed a cigar, but that month I fucking needed a cigar. Like it was a way to,
yeah.
Like I can see way over smoking. I barely ever smoke cigar.
It's pronounced Yuli. Yuli.
Yuli.
Yuli.
Okay. So now we're talking about luxury items.
Yeah.
Here's the thing that I also, this is what I was trying to say to you before. You are someone that spends money, but you're not someone that wastes money. You spend the money on the shit you love. Like
yeah.
shoes. I love to talk about shoes. I'd love to talk about, because you're the one that introduced me to
Off-Whites.
Yeah, and Virgil Abloh.
Yeah,
and I love Off-Whites now. I stopped buying shoes. I just don't. I got to a place where I was like, you said it yourself. You can only really use.
Well, yeah. What I ended up realizing, I mean, there are those really like we're talking about Trinidad James, like you know those guys that have like 8,000 pairs of shoes. But even like my modest collection, which some people would think is crazy. I'm like, I'm wearing like 5 of these.
Yeah.
The rest of them just sit on the shelf and you're just like, oh, look at that shoe.
I love the Ultra Boosts. They're like the most comfortable shoe in the world. They're like the most comfortable. And then I'm a big Nike SB Low Dunks fan. Like the Dunk Lows. That's all every shoe I have ever had. You introduced me to Air Force Ones, which I thought were the ugliest shoe in the world.
Yeah.
And I love Air Force Ones. They're so comfortable. They're the most comfortable shoe that's ever been made,
yeah.
probably. So my thing's all about comfort.
Yeah.
And then the Virgil Abloh's, like if you can get medium priced ones, some of them are just ridiculous. And I don't think.
That world is wacky. Like I've never done I've been to some of these real sneakerhead places.
Yeah.
And they'll have kind of pedestrian, you know, level stuff. And then they have stuff in cases, right? It's collector
the
stuff.
The Travis really. Scott's.
And you're like, what's that? They're like, it's $25,000. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah. Even the other one, though, this one's only $5,000. I mean, I spend $5,000 on sneakers, man.
Even like when I get like those, the off-whites, I think Michigan off-whites. Type in Michigan off-whites. I think that's what they are. I've worn them only on stage.
Really?
Yeah. Those are the ones I have. And I don't think I'm wearing them right, to be honest with you. Can you?
What do you mean?
I think I'm wearing them wrong.
How do you wear them wrong?
Oh, motherfucker.
You put them on your hands?
Hey, click on those higher. Click on the... Oh, I'm wearing them wrong, Tom. This whole time I've been wearing them wrong.
What do you mean?
Oh, motherfucker. Motherfucker.
What are you doing?
God damn it. I got the fucking string draping in the back. Like, it's supposed to go in the front.
I'm confused, but...
I have the string hanging off the back like spurs on a boot.
Oh, instead of like wrapping it around the front?
Yeah, I look like a fucking jackass. How many fucking sneakerheads have been watching me perform?
Did you snip the
I didn't snip it. You snipped it. I just unlaced it and slid it out.
Yeah, I snipped one.
Yeah.
But I kept it on a couple other pairs.
Yeah, I like these are actually, I like those. What are they called? The Philadelphia Phillies? But I only wear the, like, I like to have, so I'm getting ready to go on tour. I think I might be on tour right now if this is airing. So Leanne goes, I didn't know what shoes to put on the bus. And I was like, oh, no, don't. I'm going to get a new pair of shoes for this tour, and then I will wear those, and I only wear them on stage.
Yeah.
I love that,
shoe shows.
Show
shoes.
Yeah. Okay, so what I keep going over this. The thing I like to say is that you do spend your money wisely. You do know when to spend money, and you don't overspend on shit that's stupid. Like, no. I the things I overspend on, sometimes you're like, for real?
Like what?
A vacuum. Like, I fucking spend a lot of money on vacuums.
What do you spend on vacuums?
Like, fucking as much as I can spend on a vacuum. So that's where I spend my money. Like, on shit that I go... Any appliance, I go buy the nicest one. I don't want to deal with it again.
It's kind of smart, though. If you can afford to buy the best appliance, you're usually, like, it's going to work better. You're not going to have to replace it, fix it as much as, like, a lesser appliance.
Okay.
I'm not against that.
So then let's pivot into what I really want to know.
Okay.
So I have a stock car. What upgrades, what modifications can you add to a car that make it, that really push it over the level? We're talking.
Well, I've done some stupid shit.
Well, wait. Talk to me about modifications, because I'm fascinated by your modifications, because I like some of the things you put on a car. I like, but I don't know what they are.
Yeah, here's the truth. I don't know what some of them are either.
So okay, so you get a car. You get a.
If it's a performance, like so.
Your BMW is something where I go, I said to the guy, because I used your guy to get me my car.
So I remember, here's what I remember. Some of this stuff really is stuff I dreamt about for years.
Really?
I knew about Dynan. Look, type in D-I-N-A-N. Can you type that in? D-I-N-A-N. Okay. And
this is a hotel in France.
Yep.
There we go.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So I knew about Dynan for like years.
And then click on BMW.
I'm talking like when I was working in post-production.
Really?
Yeah, because I'd heard about the company and the things that like the mod, like they basically were tuning house for BMWs. So I'd heard about that, and you'd see the badge sometimes, especially in LA. It was like big car culture, and I'd see a car parked in the park, and it'd say Dynan on the back. Normally where it would normally say the model.
Yeah.
Just say Dynan. I was like, oh, shit, this thing's got to be crazy.
Yeah.
So when I got an M2 competition, I reached out to this guy that he's like his name is Mark, and he's in the Valley. I fucking forget the name of his shop, Bavarian Workshop, it might be it. Might be Bavarian Workshop. And so he's like, what do you have? And I go, I got an M2 competition. And he goes, oh, what do you want done to it? And I was like, I was kind of not sure what mods to do. And he goes, I got one. You want to just do what I did to mine?
Oh.
He owns the shop. And I was like, yeah. He goes, mine's fucking, it's insane. Like, it's crazy what I did to this thing. So I drop it off at his place. Dude, that car, if you type it, we type in 2019 M2 competition.
Because I remember I said to the guy, you got me, your guy got me my car. And he said,
go to the all results, not the photos.
And he was like, no, it's a good car. You got a good car. It's like a dad car. It's like a grown man car. And I was like, thanks. And then I was like, hey, what's up with Tom's car? I go, that BMW. And he goes, oh, it's a fucking rocket.
It's a rocket, dude. Well, here's the thing. It came like a great, it's a great driver's car.
Yeah.
Just stock. I was happy with it. I mean, what does it come with? It came with 405 horsepower. It's small. Mm-hmm. It handles great. Great balance in the car. Fun to drive. I didn't have any like problems, but you know, when you get a car, you're like, I wonder what more it could do. Well, because I have these like dine-in fantasies, and I find out about this guy, I send him the car. I get this car back. Does it have the weight of this car? Can you find out what it weighs? Because it doesn't weigh that much, man. It's probably going to say, what, 30? Does it say the weight there? How much? 34? I can't read it. 3,400 pounds.
Okay.
He gives it back to me with 600 horsepower. And even with stability and traction control on, the car fishtails. Like when you floor it, it goes, it's like, it's too much power for the car.
Really?
And he also gave it to me. He goes, oh, by the way, make sure you're in a real safe place if you set it on the M2 mode. He goes, I don't fuck around. Like, he's telling me that. I was,
wait,
like,
what's the M2 mode?
Well, it you can set your own like options to each mode, mm-hmm. but basically, he set it up so that you can change it. He set it up so that M2 has no stability, no traction. So you're on your own, right? So you can drift and all this stuff. But the first time I did that, I was like, oh, I want to try it. I did it turning onto PCH. I hit M2 and I completely did a donut on PCH. And I came like this close to a Lamborghini. Like, just like almost.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, I was like, oh my God. And I called him. I was like, I see what you did.
So modifications aren't technically getting your windows tinted.
Well, no, I think these are all performance modifications.
So you get all performance modifications.
Yeah, just because it's more fun. So I sent that to him. I sent the E63 to Rentec. It's another company that does that. They put in new turbos, new downpipes, blow off valve, like all just, you know, they did the equivalent, but for that car. So that car, and then I just did the Demon upgrade to the GT4. So I was supposed to get that back this week. I don't have it yet. God. So that one is the one that I heard about is supposed to be the greatest mod because people complain that the Caymans, the 718s have long gears. Like you're in second gear and you're going 82 before you need to shift it. So they shorten the gears and they actually hollow out part of the engine. They do software tuning, bigger engine now, and it's supposed to be one of the best drives you can have. Is in a car that's already very naturally balanced. Yeah. It has decent power, now has almost another 150 horsepower. And yeah, it's just fun.
Does it make you want to drive to shows to like drive? Go like, I got a show in Houston. I'm going to just drive it.
You know, it's funny because I don't know like the geography yet. Like, I mean, I know obviously the cities, but like distant stuff. But I used to love doing like Irvine and Brea. For the drive home, because you know you'd finish those gigs.
And it was like fucking Tokyo Drift.
Oh, dude.
That was, you drive those, that drive home was fucking Cannonball Run.
On that, on a Friday, Saturday, when it's like midnight.
Yeah.
And you're driving on the 60, and you could just hammer it. And there's no one out there.
Yeah.
No one out there. Or coming back from Irvine on the 5 at midnight, it would just be the best, man.
See, I've always been more of a luxury car, meaning like, big SUV old sedan. I've never been into sports cars, but I think I don't really drive very fast. I wonder if it's imprinted on you when you're young. So I have a visual of my dad listening to music, kind of sitting back in big boat.
Those are awesome too, though. But that's awesome. Yeah. I love that too.
We saw, let's see if you can find, we saw at the other day a What is it? 57 Lincoln convertible?
Lincoln, wasn't it a Continental?
Lincoln Continental. Will you type that in? This is one of the coolest. And by the way, beautiful. This is where I would spend my money. It's like, a cool I one. Think that is badass.
The coolest thing now is that I've taken some of these cars to tracks. So I got to drive my M2 at Willow Springs. I got to drive the Porsche at Circuit of the Americas here, like the F1 track.
Really?
And I'm going to this other track here with a driver, with an instructor to practice on the track. That really takes it to another level. Then you feel like the mods are, I mean, they're too much, but yeah. At least you feel like you're kind of utilizing what you got.
Convertible. It's got to be a Lincoln convertible. Suicide doors.
Yeah.
This thing was white, so too. It was white and it was so fucking badass. I could totally spend that. That's not it. Take out the year. I'm sorry. I just guessed it's 57.
It's really.
It was the baddest car I've seen in a while. I tell you what I like, and Joe's got one of those Broncos. That are all souped up.
The Icon?
Yeah, those. And there's some guys in Atlanta that do it that are fucking amazing.
Yeah, there it is.
See, I want to get that. And then I want to give it to one of those people that redo modernize it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that is such a bad. And I think the one we saw last night was modernized.
Yeah.
Could you hear the engine? You were like, that's a little.
Yeah. I would do that. I could really, like many people have, lose my mind buying cars.
I don't know where my I don't know what I have an actual problem spending money. I think
you like, do you really? I think you have a problem spending money.
You don't
seem like a reckless spender at all.
I don't spend. No, that's what I mean. I have a problem spending money. Like we did one of my biggest splurges throughout the whole year. My biggest splurge was a Sornex weight rack. Because I just kept saying, I won't need it. Like, I'm not going to use it. I won't need it. And then getting all weights, getting all free weights. And I was like, I only need 20s and 30s. And then Leanne's like, no. Leanne is comfortable writing a check for something and going, get it. And then I got the rack and I loved it.
She is comfortable? Because you always make it seem like she's like pulling back on you.
Oh, no. She's very comfortable spending money. She doesn't want to spend money on herself. But she doesn't mind spending money on that. Like, for this watch, she wants a new watch. And I was like, oh, I'm excited. She's never wanted to watch. But I don't mind spending money on her. She doesn't want to spend money on herself.
Right.
And okay. So when she did the gym at the house, she was like, I think Rogan hooked me up with Bert Soren. And Bert Soren, I think he did. No, maybe my trainer hooked me up with, I think Tate and my trainer Lacey hooked me up with Bert Soren.
Yeah.
And then I think Bert found out my name was Bert also. And he was like, I think I know who you are. And then he made sure it came out because it's really hard to get those fucking racks.
Yeah.
But he was like, you don't need something big. You just need something where you can do bench press, do squats, and do pull-ups. That's it. So I got that was a splurge for me because I just go, because it looks decadent, you know?
Yeah.
To have a weight rack when you look like me. Like a treadmill, I got a really great fucking treadmill. Yeah. But I run on a treadmill every day. So in my head, I go, and it was like, this treadmill is so nice that they came out with that treadmill and two other treadmills in a flatbed truck for me to test out. That's how it's a fucking badass. And they're like, they came to it and they're like, what? So where's your gym? This is when I lived in the other house. And I was like, it's back there. Don't worry. And the guy's like, I'm not sure how we're going to get this back there. I was like, you'll figure it out. We'll get it. And he's like,
You tried all three?
I tried all three. And he goes, so who's this for? I said, me. And he was like,
have you done it, but used it yet?
I use it all the time. I use my treadmill all the time. I use it. That's what. By the way, he goes, so who's this for? And I was like, me. And then at the same time, I got new running shoes. And the guy goes, so what are you going to be using these for? And I was like, running, motherfucker.
Yeah, it's
like,
a treadmill.
Yeah, but like, Jesus Christ. But yeah, so and then I love that treadmill. I use that all the time. But that's where I don't mind spending my money on like things that I'll be using every single day.
Okay. That makes sense, though.
All right, back to my list on getting Times Square, the Two Bears one. One place to vacation for the rest of your life.
Whew. Man, one place?
You only get this one place. Pack the kids up. You go there all the time.
I'll tell you my top three, and then we'll wind it down.
Okay, we'll whittle it down.
Okay. So number one, I love cities. I love being in a big city.
Wow. I did not expect to hear that.
So, like, you could easily, and the language barrier is a problem, but you know, it might be part of the fun. So you could easily get me to be like, oh, let's go to Paris and just live there.
Oh.
Cause I like being in a city, you know,
yeah.
Like Paris, Barcelona.
Like Russell Peters likes being in a city.
I love being in London. I love it. I love being in a, and I love going to New York. I love going to New York. Hawaii is kind of like
number one.
It's the greatest.
It's my number one.
Yeah.
If you said one place for the rest of your life, it would be Hawaii. I love Hawaii more than anything.
Hawaii is just unbelievable, man. And I wonder if this includes, like, can you island hop within Hawaii?
Yeah. You get all the islands. Oh,
that's hard to top, man. And the other thing that I love, I love these places in the Pacific Northwest, like in Montana and Wyoming and Idaho and Utah. Like, I love Colorado.
I love Colorado.
The weather, the culture, you know, the mountains, the lakes, the rivers.
Yeah.
And then they have, like, that's why I always love Denver. I always love being in Denver. Is that you're in a city, but you have the access to that stuff, which is beautiful. And I love that they're
oh, look the at that.
Come on, man.
That's what I keep saying to Georgia. She's looking at colleges, and I go, baby, you get to go anywhere in the world and then live there. You get to pick a place to live for like 4 years. I could pick so many cities to live in for 4 years.
Yeah, for 4 years?
Madison, Wisconsin.
You like Madison?
I love Madison, Wisconsin. I really love Wisconsin.
A lot of people, they have the wrong idea.
Yeah.
I think they think that Wisconsin is just farm, but like, yeah, Madison is, I was just there.
Yeah, Madison, I could live.
Great place to go to college, if you're a college kid.
Oh, okay, let's do this, and then let's pick top five places.
That town fucking parties, man.
Madison, Wisconsin, let's do your vacation place. So you got three. Montana,
Hawaii, Paris.
And Paris.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. So I'm going to pro and con it. So
I'm trying to book a Paris trip right now.
Really?
Yeah. Just go meet someone. Just see what happens.
Would it be bad? Oh, just by yourself? I would love. Except the fucking Paris accent, I think, when I think about fucking a chick, is the same one from Pulp Fiction. I had the blueberries, and I want to go.
Yeah, she's annoying.
She's, by the way, what's her name? I bet she looks great right now.
You think so?
I bet she does.
That's fucking 92, bro.
Ooh. Type in that chick. What's she look like?
30 years?
I wonder who's aged better, me or her. Let's see.
Oof. All right, she might look good. Let's do Pulp Fiction cast.
So, yeah, Paris would be... Okay. Yeah, Paris would be pretty badass. Paris is a great fucking place.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. Make those large. Okay, wait. Is it Honey Bunny? No.
No, that's Amanda Plummer.
Okay.
It's going to be... Keep going. I bet it's Trudy. No, Trudy's the one that overdoses, right? No. It's going to be low.
Really?
It's going to be, but she's just got a little part. Not bigger than Young Butch, though. There you go.
Wait, is that her?
There you go, yeah.
Maria?
Maria de Mieres.
De Mieres? Maria of shit?
De Mieres.
Okay. That's her.
Who's she married to? Emilio Estevez?
No, really?
No. Is she from France? Lisbon. She's Portuguese.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah, okay. Paris.
Wait. Let's go. Let's do type in her name and then do 2021, you know, so we can see photos. No, she aged well.
Yeah, she looks good. She aged better than me. I'm going to go.
Have you seen that meme of you?
No.
You haven't seen that one?
No. What is it?
It's a picture of you, like that you'd post on Instagram, like young.
Is this gonna fucking kill me? What is it?
It's you, and you're like young and happy, and then it's like you, like on the set or something.
Wait, what is this?
It says, "You mean to tell me this is what happens after just 60,000 Tito's?"
Wait, where? Where is this?
I've seen it. I've seen it.
Where is it? Where is it? Find it, Eddie. This is what happens after looking. I goes, yeah. Looking.
This is what happens after 60,000 Tito's.
I'm going to clean my life up. I'm telling you. I'm going to change my shit around. I'm going to turn my shit around. Look, I haven't talked shit about anyone in two episodes.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. It's really good.
Yeah.
I'm talking positive these days.
It might be in, you know what it might be? If you go to his Instagram, in when you're tagged in a, you know, like the tagged, mentioned fucking icon on Instagram. You know what I'm talking about? No. You go to someone's page and you hit that, whatever it is. Yeah, that thing.
Oh, I see. You go to my page and then you go to.
Yeah, yeah, it might be in there. I'm sure somebody tagged you in it at some point. God, I laughed so hard at that.
I haven't seen it.
I mean, it's you from like, you know, whatever, 96. And then, yeah, tagged. It's going to be in there somewhere, man.
It's got to be.
Yeah. You found it? Yeah. Oh, they found it. There it is.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
This is what happens after just 60,000.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Like, I'm going to quit drinking. I'm going to quit drinking.
That's basically the equivalent of like, hey, that guy was in Pulp Fiction. Let's see what
yeah,
he is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. By the way, still have hair. That's all we got to talk about.
Yeah, you do still have hair. You look really cute there on the left, bud.
Yeah, that was. I grew into my mouth. That's great. Who did that? Prolific memes?
Oh, that's funny.
That's funny. That is funny.
What's funny about this is the wording.
Yeah.
This is what happens after just 60,000 Tito's and sodas.
Wait, by the way, Prolific Memes does a lot of me.
Does he?
And he does. Oh, he's a big. Is he part of the Content Creator Collaborative?
Yeah.
Jesus, he has a. Okay. Oh.
Oh yeah. He does. Oh, I see. What your problems make my dick soft? That's a good one. Okay. What do you do? AOC there.
Mr. Clavicle yeah. Liked it.
It's very funny. It's very funny. God, I wish Christina looked like that. Right. Scroll up a little bit.
What like
right there on the right?
Yeah. Oh fuck. Dude, there's something so like I feel like when you're tatted like that, you don't see the flaw in the person,
right?
Like if Leanne got tatted on her throat, she'd look younger,
right?
You know,
would you like that?
Yeah, like a nice throat tattoo that says "fuck the world."
Yeah.
I let's see sexy throat tattoos. There's something about.
They all look hot.
Oh, they all look fucking. Look at her. Oh, one of them got stolen and put in a movie.
Stolen?
Yeah. I think that's her, actually.
What do you mean? They stole her tattoo?
Yeah. So you can't. So I want to say this. Her is her. So there was this movie that the woman had like this guy, the director, I guess, followed this woman who had cool tattoos, and then he just put the character in the movie with those tattoos. And then the woman was like, whoa, you can't fucking do that. That's my tattoo. And then now you're doing it in the movie.
There you say, right there.
Yeah. Let me see your throat tattoo.
Oh. That might be a big thing.
Yeah, that's her. I saw that. That's a fucking cool ass tattoo.
What are you calling it? A what?
Tattoo. I'm doing it back and forth right now.
Oh, tattoo?
Tattoo. Beneflect tattoo.
Reached out to me and her. I thank you for all the massive support. Okay. So, yeah, that's the actress on the right? Is that what we're seeing?
No, that's not the actress on the right. That's the actress.
On the left?
On the left, yeah.
Okay.
I think she's had some modifications.
Well, she looks cute.
I'm hoping my daughters don't get them. Like,
how come?
I don't know. Cause I just don't want them to ever get one.
Really?
Yeah, we were talking about getting one, weren't we?
Yeah, we should get. You know, it's October right now, and we're doing real well.
What should we do?
We've been so sober.
Yeah.
Did we do it?
I don't know.
You want to get tattooed to commemorate the month?
Yeah. Where do you want to get it?
Where should we get it?
I don't know. It's got to be. I was told by someone that it needs to be discreet because I'm shirtless. And if you get it visible, people are going to be staring at it the whole time. It's going to be distracting.
That's very true. Or you could do something else crazy. Keep your shirt on.
Nope. I'm going to get, I wouldn't mind a face tattoo.
A face tattoo?
Right here.
That's very distracting. Yeah. So obviously put it on your back?
Or
back of your arm?
Back of my arm. I'd do back of my arm.
What should we get?
I don't know.
What if we have an artist do a sketch of each other's dick, and then I get your dick on the back of my arm, and you get mine on the back of yours?
I actually like that a lot.
Really?
Yeah, I like that a lot.
It's kind of funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, and people are like, you got your dick? They're like, no, it's my friend's dick.
What if we got a gang tattoo for all our listeners?
What's the gang?
I don't know. Two bears, one cave? What if we come up with a straight-up gang? Like, and that's part of the things, is it's going to be small and discreet, but you can see them. Like if we got them like right here.
Oh, right.
And then that everyone got them. Good, like put in good gang tattoos.
Good gang tattoos. You about that cave life?
Yeah, like a little.
That's
like,
very discreet.
Hey, guys, if you're fans, get a huge bear
mauling
and its cub.
Someone. God, this guy really loves fucking salmon.
Put hand gang tattoos.
Tattoos. Yeah, let's check out the guy with handcuffs on. Those are always good. Well, those are Aaron Hernandez.
I think he'll have blood, sweat,
God.
And cum.
Blood, sweat, cum.
1989 is when he was born.
So crazy.
By the way, there's some guy listening going, wait, I was born in it. Blood, sweat, and cum, that's on my hand. There you go. That little one right there, right on her hand.
He was the greatest gay.
So that's what we
athlete.
Need. We need something like that, like a little something very discreet, very subtle, but not getting. Oh, you know what? We'll just do. We'll get like the Mexican mafias.
Oh, wait. Go up one. Go up a little more. Up. See the far right with the chess piece? Yeah, hit that. What if we do our kids like that?
In death masks?
Yeah, well, we do one of them gets the actual image and the other one gets a skull. But you have to pick which kid gets the skull.
Yeah, that sounds like a great. I like that. I'll get Georgia and then a skull.
Yeah. And then I was like, "What about me?" You're like, "That's you."
That's you. The skull.
The skull is you.
Yeah, the skull's you. So you do them on street gangs, they do it with each other. They like three dots and a circle or something.
Yeah.
And so I think what we do is we get that, but we don't make sure it's not recognizable as looks similar. We should do it. Make it looks really similar to the Mexican mafia tattoo. So that everyone's always like, wait, is that? And you're like, no, different mafia.
Different mafia. Oh, there you go.
Yeah, see? What?
Yeah, what does that mean? What is that? Five stars? What is that?
Okay, yeah.
Okay, what does it say? Five dots. Go back up and make that larger.
A crown with 5 points.
Time done. Oh, time done. Yeah, we don't want to do that.
We don't want to do that.
This number can be found. What is that? 1488. Oh, white supremacist stuff. We could do that.
Guys, we'll get 1488. What if we just, what's 1 plus 4 plus 8 plus 8? We'll just get the sum of all those.
14 represents 14 words, which are a quote by Nazi leader David Lane. We must secure the existence of our people. Future for white children. 88, shorthand for the eighth letter of the alphabet, HH, I Heil Hitler. Dude, we should definitely do that. That should be the name of your next special. 1488.
1488.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Cobweb tattoo. Prison.
We should get cobweb tattoos and then 1488.
A lengthy prison sentence. That's cool. Aryan Brotherhood. Oh, awesome.
Here we go. We get, how about, what's the 6066?
MS-13. What's ACAB? Acronym found on the
All
British.
Cops are bastards.
Oh. Norteños, okay.
Norteños is,
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Russian.
MA is Mexican Mafia, right?
Right, but the cross on the chest is a Russian prisons.
Where?
That's what it says, right there, under the cross on the chest. Symbolize a prince of thieves.
See. Oh, is that it, the one right there? Okay.
Higher end in the mob, Russian prisoners have a unique, intricate history of prison.
If you could get, this is a soft pitch, but if,
go
say,
back down a little more.
Say the Russian Mafia, Russian Mafia likes my movie and it becomes their Goodfellas, right?
Right.
And they're like, this guy doesn't look.
That doesn't look good at all.
That's a bad look.
By the way, we are critiquing gang members' tattoos.
We're not really saying we're fans of all of them.
We're fans of all of you guys. By the way, this was a diverted thing. What if, okay, hypothetically speaking, Russian Mafia sees my movie and they're like, I really like this. And they're like, hey, we would like to make you and Tom honorary members. Here's the deal. On your back, we're going to tattoo the landscape of Moscow mm-hmm. on your back.
Yeah.
But you get in, no one ever fucks with you. There's like privileges. You don't have to pay taxes on your gas and stuff. Like, I don't know. Like, and then like, you know. No one fucks with you.
Yeah, the answer, if someone's having this conversation with you, let me tell you something. You're getting that tattoo.
Oh, yeah.
If it's to the point where they're like, we're landscaping Moscow on your back, it's just happening.
Just, oh.
Yeah, you're like,
oh. Stars on your knees.
You're like, I love it. Feels good. All right. We got to get going, man. This was a fun one. Hey, thanks for getting to know me.
Hey.
I enjoyed it.
I did pretty good, right?
You did great.
So
this was your idea, by the way. This wasn't planned. I didn't know this was happening.
I was writing down things we could. One day I was sitting down writing down things we could talk about, and I started writing them, and I was like, "Oh, these are things I want to talk about."
Yeah.
And I was like, "I should do things Tom wants to talk about." And so started writing down things like, that I know you like. So I think we did a good job. I'll see you in 2 weeks. Do you think this set will be jazzed up in a week?
I like it. Like, I mean, we might do, you know. Like some quotes.
Could we get a stripper to stand? What if we paid a stripper, COVID tested her?
Okay.
And have her just stand back there.
Yes. Absolutely yes.
And just, I think it would class it up. I think it would bring more eyes to us.
And then she dips down.
Yeah.
And they have to guess who's getting a blowjob.
Like, and by who's giggling. And the first one that laughs has to pay for it.
Yeah.
What if we raise this table up a bit, right? And then we could have a stripper pit where she could just sit and have cocktails. She didn't have to say much. She just come up and just dance a little bit.
Yep.
And like, I think we could, I mean, we're in Austin.
We could, they allow that.
You can do anything in Austin.
Sure.
So I think we should do that. Annie, can you do some research on some strippers this weekend? He goes, I have a poll on the way.
Doable.
I thought it said disabled. I thought he read that he was disabled. I was like, no, I don't think we want her to be disabled.
She could be, though. We don't discriminate.
Yeah, we could definitely have her be disabled.
Okay. We gotta run.
All right. Love you.
Love you, too.
Bert and Tom. Tom and Bert. One goes topless while the other wears a shirt. Tom tells stories and Bert's the machine. There's not a chance in hell that they'll keep it clean. Here's what we call... Two bears, one cave. No scripts, a bit of booze, amateur partology. Dirty jokes, raunchy humor, no apologies. Here's what we call Two Bears, One Cave.